Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone. Your greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we open your word this morning, we are asking the Holy Spirit to come forward and to open our hearts and minds to be receptive, and that he will bring to us the true revelation of this, your word, so that we can grow in faith, in strength, in our trust, and walk in all ways according to your word, Father, in your will and your way. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this study period. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're going to be in Romans chapter 4. And here in chapter 4, we're talking about Abraham quite a bit here. Because, you know, he is actually a spiritual father of Israel and of a lot of things, which also makes him a spiritual father to us that are the children of Almighty God. Now here, we begin here with verse 1. Says, what shall we say then, that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? Now, 2, for if Abraham were justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. 4, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. All right, let's stop here now for a minute and back up here now and kind of take a look at what these verses are telling us. This verse 1, as we were reading there about him being our Father, and as pertaining to the flesh, you know, we find, you know, that Abraham is a classic example of the principle of justification by faith. Now think about this. By faith. In this chapter, Paul uses Abraham's experience as evidence that this is not a new principle, but the same one God has always used in justifying the ungodly. Abraham, our father. Abraham is important for two reasons. He is the acknowledged father of the Jewish nation, and God justified him before the law was ever given. You see, his faith and all was accounted for righteousness and all the law was given to Moses. Abraham's was. You see, God doesn't work a lot different among and with mankind. Now, there are some differences, yes. And then, you know, he talketh about worketh in debt and debit. Wages received are not a manifestation of grace. They are earned. Works remove grace from salvation. And justification is by faith alone. You see, works won't get you salvation. It won't get you justified. We work because we are his children. That's why we do his work, is because we love him and we want him first in our lives. And we're not out here wanting to walk on our own. We want to work according to the way that he wants us to walk. And you know, that faith is counted for righteousness. And faith is not a work performed to earn righteousness. Because you see, rather, it is the means through which God can impute the righteousness of Jesus Christ to the sinner. He is not accounted righteous, not made righteous. The former is the work of justification, and the latter is the process of sanctification. You know, we'll be getting into more of that as we get in to chapter 6. We're not going to be going there today. We'll just wait till we get there for that. But now, this is what we have found in these first 5 verses. Think about that. And a lot of it is things that without the Holy Spirit, we would never catch on to. You see, this is why the Word tells us. God's Word tells you and I, those that are walking in darkness, those that are sinners, unsaved, cannot understand his word. And you know, before we all came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we were walking, and I read the Bible and all before, that I wasn't getting anything out of it, really. Every now and then, I'd get some little bitty something, which didn't amount to nothing. And I continued my walk in sin. And I know that you've done the same thing. Because the Word tells us we will not understand it, the right meaning out of it, if we continue living in sin. Now, 6. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. You know, David, this appealed to David because, you see, he is the second most esteemed man in the history of Israel. And it shows that the giving of the law subsequently to Abraham does not abrogate the principle of justification by faith. It is still in force. You see, it's always that it goes way back into the time. Faith goes all the way back to Abraham and David. It's not new, because it's the way we have to live by in the New Testament. Now, it's been around a while. Now, there was another way made for man to live for God that was given to Moses. That was the law. But you see, without the Holy Spirit, without faith, they wasn't living it. And a lot of them today are not living the Word and living for God because they don't have faith in it either. They've got faith in themselves and things of this world. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Now, 10. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision, or in uncircumcision, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision? You see, the wording here is what causes a lot of us to not really get the meaning out of these verses. Just like 10 here. It sounds like double talk. How was it then reckoned when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. But you see, what that is telling you in that is that circumcision only are upon the uncircumcised. And you know, Paul is anticipating here the argument that circumcision, not faith, brought about Abraham's justification. But again, it didn't. And Abraham establishes Paul's point in that he was justified 24 years before he was circumcised. You see, it had nothing to do with the law at all. Abraham's justification law had nothing to do with the law. Now, 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteous, of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. So you see, we see that circumcision is not what brings faith, righteousness, justification to us. It is our belief in the Lord our God and our belief in his word, and that we are taking the time to study his word so that we can grow thereby and learn even more so that we can be better servants unto him. Not for ourselves even, but unto him. Now, 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. You see, that's the faith you and I have to walk in. We are to walk in the same faith that Abraham had before he was ever circumcised. And he had that and was walking that way and was justified and all 24 years before he became circumcised. Now, 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of, we know that God made a covenant with Abraham, that he and his seed would inherit, should be the heir of this world. And you see, it's letting us know right there that it was through the righteousness of faith. And that's what we have to walk in. Faith. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing in his death, believing in his resurrection, believing his ascension into heaven, believing in the sending of the Holy Spirit back to mankind, and believing that the two of them live in us and give us the guidance, the strength, and the knowledge that we need in order to make heaven our home. Now, 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. You see, the law couldn't make you heirs. Now, and the promise made of none effect. You see, that covenant with Abraham, if the law could have made everyone heirs, it would have made faith and the promise that God gave to Abraham of none effect. And we know that don't work. So we know that it takes faith. Now, 15. Because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. At 16. You know, he's simply telling us there that only those who have the faith of Abraham are the spiritual seed of Abraham, whether we be Jew or Gentile. You see, it covers us all. And most have been taught that that was just of the Jews, of the Jews. But you see, it's not. And that Abraham was just the spiritual father of the Jews. That's not so. It's of all of us. Unto this day, he is the father of us all that walk saved, justified, sanctified as a child of the living God. Now, 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You see, the Lord, and through faith and trust in him, our faith will believe in things that are not of that are not seen. We have belief for healing. Yet it's not seen until that faith is put into action. Now, 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. He's believing in things, really, that he will never see. He will never see. Not while he lives here on this earth. We don't know what he's seeing now. We know he's in heaven and all. We don't know what he's seeing. But we do know one thing. We know that those that are the children of God are also those of his seed. Now, And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Okay. Now, here he is, 100 years old. Sarah was barren. Her womb was considered as being dead. But yet, 20, says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Because you see, when God made this covenant with him, and talking about his seed, he had no children. None at all. So now, here in 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. How strong is your faith? And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, because he was believing what God told him. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him. 24. Paul says, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, Almighty God. 25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And now, we've come to the end of chapter 4. We're going to be getting into chapter 5 because this evening at 6, we may not finish with 5 here. We may not. I do know that we will be going in and taking care of chapter 6 this evening. And a lot of us that have friends that are in need of fulfilling that plan of salvation, we need to talk to as many as we can and get them to come in and join us this evening as we study chapter 6. All right, chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when we talk about justified by faith, that's because we have been justified by faith. It was God's doing, not man's, but God's doing, which and also will give us peace with God. And this is not a feeling, but a standing. God and the believer are no longer an enmity, but have been reconciled. Verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. You see, that's why we can rejoice today, is because we are to be as Abraham was and stand in faith with God and of God and to God. Because he is our everything. He is our supplier of everything we need to exist here on earth and also to make heaven our home. All have been given. And we must accept it all by faith. Verse 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Well, but that's not an easy thing. Because when we are up against tribulations and trials, to be patient about it's not easy. But it does teach us patience. We have to wait and work and wait upon the Lord to get us through it. And then when we come to the end of that tribulation, we are ready to shout to the Lord in joy. Now, and patience, verse 4, and patience, experience, and experience, hope. 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. You see, everything comes to us today by the Holy Spirit. He brings it. It comes from the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit that gives it to us and makes it work. You know, the believer has the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit. He's telling us that we have there in verse 5. We've got the presence of the Holy Spirit there with us. And this is not a second blessing, but is just as much a certainty as the believer's justification. You see, this lets us get a clearer understanding. Of the word and the truth that lays in his word. 6, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And he did. That is the reason for his death. That was the whole reason for it. He took all that pain and all that many hours on the cross for you and I to have a way to make heaven our home. Because at the time, mankind was living in sin. And his death was for yours and my salvation. Seven, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The words tell him, you and I, right out plainly. He died for us while we were yet sinners. Now, 9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And that is the only way that you and I can be saved, is through the Lord Jesus. There is no other way. And for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. His life is what saves us, not ours, his. Now, 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. We have been given that atonement. Now, 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgressions, who is the figure of him that was to come. 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift by the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. You see, that's telling you and I there that the gift of grace, it abounds to many. And it is equal extensively in its outreach. And you know, the second contrast indicates that Adam brings about judgment and condemnation. But Christ, with you and I, brings about justification. And that will only come through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, then we have that third contrast, is that Adam transgression issued in a reign of death. And groups are not coextensive. Paul is not teaching that everyone will be saved. And we know that they won't be. The Word tells us that the way, the broad way to destruction, and they were told that many will find that. But straight and narrow is the way to salvation, and few be there to find that. We don't know exactly how few or how many, because it doesn't say. It just says few there be to find that. And Adam's sin affects all who are a part of the human race. You see, when you are born under sin. And you're going to walk under that, under sin, until you come to a knowledge of needing the Lord Jesus Christ, and you go to him and repent and receive his forgiveness and begin your walk with the Lord and his word, growing into becoming that born again child of the living God. Now, we know that Christ's righteousness is for all his spiritual race. And you know, that includes everyone. But there are only those that receive salvation that become believers in Christ. Think about it. And we're going to stop here because we don't have too much more to go, but it's, you know, let's see. Let's catch time. Well, how much time we got left? Well, we got enough time. We can go ahead. We can go ahead and finish this up. Now, verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, and that's Adam's sin that brought all that sin upon us. 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. 14, nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. All right, let's come on down here now to 17. For if by one man's offense, Adam's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. You see, this is some heavy stuff. And some stuff that we all need. We need to understand. Now, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abound, grace did much more abound. 21. That as sin has reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And you see, there is no other way to heaven except through the Lord Jesus Christ in this day and time in which we live. And we know we are living in the last days of time. Stop and think about all that. We're going to be stopping here because, as I said, this evening, we're going to be getting into this sixth chapter of Romans. And there is a lot there that people need to know and to understand. And it won't take us long to get through the sixth chapter, so we'll probably well, through the sixth, and either into or through the seventh. But we are going to stop here right now. You see, the sixth chapter has only got 23 verses. It's short. But it is something that we all really need to know and to understand, because it has to do with our salvation. All right. And then the seventh chapter, it only has 25. So, and a lot of them are not too awful long. But anyway, whatever the Spirit gives us, that's what we'll receive this evening. But we will be in the sixth chapter of Romans this evening, God willing. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word, we thank you for this word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we are thankful for all of the knowledge and the understanding the Holy Spirit gives us to help us to walk straighter, stronger in faith, stronger in spirit, stronger physically, to go about doing your work that you want done here on this earth as of yet. Now, Father, Jerusalem, we pray for peace. But more than that, Father, we pray for them to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah, and that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. Father, this land of ours, may we remove those of evil that is sitting in our high places and bringing evil upon this nation and to its people, and to replace them, Father, with your children. Those that love you, love the Lord Jesus Christ, love the church and your people, and love this nation. And work with us, Father, to put this nation back upon the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the Lord to be put back into our schools. Most that are living today don't realize that actually when we first started our schools in this land, our first school book was the Holy Bible. Now, Father, they don't want it around nowhere. Father, we're standing upon your word and in faith, and we keep praying, Father, for the Holy Spirit to keep speaking through us, to bring about the things still to be done for you, to help, let us be a help, Father, of getting thy word out, to bring those that you want reconciled back to you, Father. Use us all in mighty and great ways. And I ask this all, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I pray for those that are with me and with this ministry. I pray that they be in health, be kept safe through this day, and that they will work, Father, to bring in others to share your word with. Now, Father, as we separate, watch over each and every one of us. Keep us safe through this day and bring us together again at 6 p.m. this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day. Walk with God and He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.